Do not be afraid. Genesis 15, 1 through 12 and 17 through 18. Do you have a dream? Do you have a clear vision and plan for your future? If you said no to these questions, let me change my question for you. What makes you not have a dream or vision or plan for your future? Probably the biggest obstacle is fear. If our hearts are caught in fear, we can no longer dream of the future. Some of you may remember the most famous phrases from President Franklin Roosevelt's first inaugural address. The only thing we have to fear is fear itself. I also often find myself caught in fear in front of a test or problem. Fear always comes first when I am faced with an uncomfortable situation. And this fear makes me step back or want to give up even before I start to deal with it. In this case, whenever I am faced with my fear, I always recall what God said to Abram. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. And I tried to change one word from it, Abram, to my name, believing that this is what God is speaking to me right now. Abram, who was called Abraham later, is one of the most famous people in the Old Testament. Abram is the root of the Israelites, both in blood and faith. Among the many stories regarding Abram in the Bible, the most important thing in connection with the faith of the Israelites is the covenant which God made with Abram. Covenant is also called and understood as a promise or a contract. The covenant which God gave to Abram contains essentially two things. One is descendants and the other is land. God promised Abram that he will give Abram a descendant and land through the covenant. Today's Old Testament text describes the scene in which the covenant of God is fulfilled. Genesis chapter 15 begins by saying that the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. And the word of the Lord was, "Do not be afraid." From this, we easily can guess that Abram was afraid of something. And then text shows us exactly what he was afraid of. Abram said, "Lord all-powerful, you have given me everything I could ask for except children. And when I die, Eliezer of Damascus will get all I own. You have not given me any children, and this servant of mine will inherit everything." Yes, he was afraid of the fact that he has no child. In ancient times, having no descendants even meant the loss of self-existence. This sounds a lot different from today. For now, people do not really think and having a child is an absolute need. But for the ancient, having a child was very important, and even having many children was considered as the absolute basis to identify themselves. The first covenant which God gave to Abram was descendants. God led Abram to see the stars in the sky and promised him that God would give him as many of his own offspring as there were stars. Did Abram literally accept this first covenant of God? If I were Abram, I couldn't believe it. But verse 6 says that Abram believed the Lord. Although Abram could not believe that he would have many descendants, he faithfully believed God. Indeed, Abram believed the Lord God. By faith, he left his homeland and he was able to leave Haran, a stop of place, but he could not believe that his descendant would become as many as the stars of the sky. But at the very moment when the covenant of God was proclaimed, Abram said he believed the Lord. And verse 6 says that the Lord reckoned it to him as righteousness. God was pleased with Abram's faithfulness. The second covenant which God gave to Abram was land. In verse 7, God said to Abram that, I am the Lord who brought you from Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to possess. Though God said that he will give Abram the land of Canaan, again Abram could not believe this. So in verse 8, Abram asked God by saying, O Lord God, how am I to know that I shall possess it? It is so natural that Abram could not accept the covenant about the land. Think about Abram's situation. Abram was a stranger, but there were already other people who settled down in Canaan. For him, just surviving in Canaan seemed almost impossible. Therefore, Abraham asked God not only for a covenant, but also for giving evidence. Actually, the fact that Abraham has no children or no land is not a decisive factor in living and enjoying the present life. But for him, this fact meant that he had no future in the end. If he had to end his life without any of his own descendants, it would have felt like all the life he had been walking through was meaningless. Having no children meant having no future for him. This brought him tremendous fear. Since the fear was too big, despite his faith in God, he asked for the evidence of God's covenant. What happened to Abram, who was asking for evidence? In verse 17, in his dream, Abram saw a smoking fire pot and a flaming torch went between the two halves of each animal. This reminded him of the Israelites' special experience in the wilderness. In the wilderness, God was with the Israelites, whom were filled with fear of survival and fear of the future, and protect them by day and by night as a pillar of cloud, leading them along the way and a pillar of fire, giving them light. The torch which Abram saw in his dream was the same as the pillar of fire in the wilderness. God, who worked in the Israelites, still is faithfully working in Abram. God not only gave him the land of Canaan, but also gave him Ishmael and Isaac. Have you ever had this kind of God experience in your life? When did you feel the presence of God or protection of God in your midst in the strongest way? Personally, I have had several God experiences in my life, but today I'd like to share someone else's God experience, and it is John Wesley, who is the founder of Methodism. John Wesley was the 15th of his 19 siblings between Samuel and Susanna Wesley. John was born in 1703 in Emporth, England. His father Samuel was a preacher and one of the loyal servants of the church. His mother Susanna was a wise and great mentor to her children. And she was very faithful to God with having at least an hour of prayer every day. However, there were many sorrows, adversity, and pain in their lives. Among 19 children they had, 9 of them were lost at childbirth or in early childhood. Furthermore, Samuel was often in debt. As a pastor, his salary could not support or his family's basic needs, so many times he had to deal with lack of money and the financial stress. One day, one of his parishioners, whom he owed money, demanded immediate repayment, knowing that Samuel couldn't pay, so finally he was thrown into jail. In addition to this, in 1709, when John Wesley was 5 years old, someone set fire to the parsonage in which Wesley's family lived. The house burned so quickly that the Wesley family barely escaped with their lives. But they found that one child was missing, and it was John. Although Samuel tried to rush back in and get him, the house was engulfed in flames. But thankfully, one of the neighbors noticed John standing just inside a window. A man climbed onto someone's shoulders, and they pulled John out of the house just before the roof collapsed. Nevertheless, after each of these incidents, Samuel returned to the pulpit and continued preaching there until his death in 1735. Samuel and Susanna never gave up in the face of opposition, but rather they found hope and strength. They didn't blame God, and they didn't turn away from God. Instead, they trusted God. Especially through the incident of fire, Susanna called John a brand plucked from the burning, quoting Zechariah 3:2. And they came to believe that God had saved him for some special purpose. The house on fire was one of many unforgettable experiences in his life, but it did not lead him to have a deep fear of fire. Instead, it confirmed his vocation and God's salvation. As we live our lives, we often face sorrows, adversity, and pain as Abraham did, and as Samuel, Susanna, and John did. And before such difficulties, we are frustrated and frightened, and we are seized with fear. However, today we learn a great lesson from the experience of our faithful ancestors. In the face of frustration and suffering, they never forsake their faith in God. Their faithfulness eventually enabled them to see the glory of God in the end. And we have another great example through the life of Jesus Christ. Although he came to this world as only Son of God, he always was seized by fear before the cross that he had to take. He also was seized by fear before the cross that he had to take. So he prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. Nevertheless, he did not abandon his faith in God, but he went boldly in front of the fear and took up his cross. This eventually led him to see the glory of God through the resurrection. Although I have been living in faith for a long time, there is one thing that I am not used to at all. It is facing fear and suffering. I'm not saying that facing fear and suffering is just bad, but if you faithfully keep your faith in God, you will surely see the glory of God in the end. In Romans 8:18, Paul says that, "I consider that sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory about to be revealed to us." My hope and prayer for you is that this Paul's confession will be your own confession of faith in your time of need. Lastly, I'd like to remind you that what God said to Abraham and is still saying to us right now: "Do not be afraid. I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great." Yes, yes, Lord, I'm not afraid. Praise God. Amen.